I usually get in a debate about this word. Romans 5:10, if we, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. We were God's enemies before we accepted Christ. And Matthew 12:30, and it says, I should have marked it, 12:30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. This is a quote from, this is a paragraph from our lesson, the teacher's lesson. It says, Lifeway Research surveyed Americans about their about their perceptions regarding religious liberty. 60% of those surveyed agreed with this, with the statement, religious liberty is on the decline in America. Almost two-thirds, 63%, agreed with the statement, American Christians face growing intolerance. Religious liberty has become an increasingly contentious issue in American culture. Those two verses I just read to you, I use the word atheist. You're against God, you're an atheist. I don't care. You can't make a fence for an agnostic to stand on with those statements, with those verses. You can't, the guys that you work with, good old boys, never lived a good life, never tried to do anything wrong. If they never accepted Christ, I'm sorry. That's the way it is. You're an atheist. Now, I have a lot of people, well, that's kind of harsh. Those are atheists. So, what I'm getting at is this. In a Pew study, well, let me say this. Atheists are bullies when it comes to Christians. They are bullies. And atheists are cowards when it comes to Muslims. They'll tell you, oh, well, no, we're not going to say anything against that religion. And it's because they're cowards about it. But Christians, worst we're going to do is probably pray for them. You know, and they know that. So we are their targets. In a Pew study recently, well, I'll tell you what happened Saturday. Not this Saturday, but before. Three of us are at Arcade, City Park, handing out Bibles. Two of us can handle it. The third guy decides, James decides that he's going to walk through the crowd, hand out. Before we know it, the manager of the place comes and says, this is your area right here. You don't get out of it. Okay? Now, my daughter has had a similar incident. So, why didn't the atheist just say, no, thank you, I don't want one? No, he didn't want James or she, he or she, didn't want James giving a Bible to anybody else. And that's what we're up against today. A Pew Research Center study shows that atheism is well on the increase in America. It's almost taken over Europe. But that study had one bright spot, and that was by the year 2050, Christians will number an incredible 2.9 billion people. 2.9 billion. And the reason is because other countries are accepting Christ. While we're going the other way, other countries are accepting Christ. Africa in 1900 had 8.7 million people. Today they've got 390 million Christians. And by 2025, they expect 600 million Christians to be in Africa. Asia, today there's 350 million, 460 million by the year 2025. China, 4 million in 1949, and today there are 69 million people, Christians, in China. In Russia, 100 million today, and they expect 200 million by 2050. Now, some of these are communist countries. In communism, the legal religion is atheism. So these people are going exactly opposite from what the government wants. And so it becomes pretty risky in the worship of the Lord in those countries. Russia, actually, I don't know if y'all know, Stalin, when he took over, he tore down churches and made others, he tore down what ones that he couldn't use as government buildings and made government buildings out of them. They started just in the small children indoctrinating atheism. And yet, there's 100 million Christians there today. So, I don't know. We're going the other way. The rest of the world is accepting Christ. When we started giving out Bibles, I noticed two young girls that I would say is millennials, probably 18, 19. And they thought David was giving them a Bible, and they said, oh no. Gave a look on their face like they had just run over a dead skunk on the road, you know. And so they refused him. Now, some little girls came up, about 10 years old, probably just starting to read. They thought this was the greatest thing. I've got my own Bible, you know? And so that's where, evidently, we're going to have to start, because the millennials are pretty much already indoctrinated. The largest Christian group, age-wise, percentage-wise, age, look around you. We're it. Over 50. By far the highest percentage of Christians. Farther down you go, worse off it is. So, Paul says, let me get back here. Okay, but be to God, we always, but thanks be to God, we always leads us in the triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. The one, we are the smell of death. To the other, we're the fragrance of life. And we are equal to such tasks. Unlike so many others, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. So, when we witness, we are just like, we will run up on just like those girls, the older girls. And we need to expect that in advance. But we're not doing it for us. We're doing it for Christ, just like Paul did. This is Corinthians 2, chapter 2, 13, is what I just read. Or 2:14 to I need to get my glasses on. Are we beginning to, now this is chapter 3, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Your lives, yourselves, are the letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets or stone, but the tablets of a human heart. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before you. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Let the letter die, for the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. Now, you know, here's a thing that when we accepted Christ, we have the Spirit comes and indwells us. And I talked to Bob about this. Our vice president was attacked for saying, God told me to do this. God told me to do that. Vice President Pence. And they even had a Christian. I watched an excerpt from, they even had a Christian at the table and said, well, I've never heard God say anything, da, 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 outwardly, you know. And she says, I'm a Christian. Well, I don't believe she has the Holy Spirit. Because we do just like we do here. We study God's Word. We put it in our heart. We have accepted Christ. The Spirit uses our knowledge from the Word to lead us in this world to do what's pleasing to God. And if she's never heard that, and that not her heart, then she probably hasn't studied the Bible. I just thought, and so finally, it was that Joy Behar on The View. And finally, she had to, Sylvia. She finally was forced. I'm sure she was forced because she probably was told, you either apologize on air or you're going to be fired, is probably what happened. Well, it's terrible that that is what has to be done to make someone. But, and then she gives this apology that was so monotone. I mean, it was, you could tell it was forced. But our president, even our vice president, even has been attacked. So because of his faith. Now, you can attack him for your politics, but not, I would say, not for your faith. Or at least that's the way this country used to be. And of course, Paul is saying that the Spirit has actually given us life, whereas the commandments, knowing that we can't live by them alone. You should have seen me yesterday. It's a good thing that Christ is so forgiving, because I needed it yesterday after, I think it was three guys almost hit me on the way home in traffic. And this is the reason why you usually see Carolyn driving. But I honestly believe they were on something because they were going over this line and then over that line. And we were in the middle, and there must have been 10,000 cars on the interconnector. And he picks me to run into, you know. But anyway, so thank God for his son. I can call on him to forgive me for my shortcomings. Now, Paul says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secrets and shameful ways. We do not use deception nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. So you see, this is exactly what's happening here in America. I think it may be because we've had it so easy. If you lived in a communist country, you could lose your life. Certainly in a Muslim country, you could, for worshiping the Lord. And this gets us to our lesson. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord, as Lord, and ourselves as your servant, for Christ's sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So thank God for that. Now, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars, fragile clay jars, to show that this surpassing, all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed; perplexed, but not in despair; persecuted, but not abandoned; struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in the body the death of Jesus, so that life of Jesus is also revealed in our body. Now, an instance. What we very well may be coming up on quite often from now on. Several years ago, I actually used to work, and I was downtown at a copy shop picking up copies of prints. Yeah, my wife didn't support me all my life, you know. I was picking up prints, and there's just me and this young girl, lady, behind the counter. And she looks at me, and she just busted out and started crying. And I thought, what'd I do, you know? And so I said, "Can I help you? You know, what can I do something?" And she was just crying her eyes out. And so I walked around the counter, and I gave her a hug, patted her on the back. I says, "You know, can't be that bad." And so she tells me the story. She's just gotten back from lunch and opened the shop back up. She stopped by the grocery store, and she bought several bags of groceries, right? And so on the way back to the office, she parks in the alley. Well, this guy is going through the trash cans trying to find something to eat, you know? She looks at it. She sees him, and she stops. She says, I got a bag of groceries, and I handed it to him. He refused to take it. He yelled at her. He was abusive. He cussed her out. Now, this is a guy who's rummaging around for something to eat. But you see how Satan just works on these people. They won't even take, you know, what they need. I know Bob said one time about the veterans, they don't want to live in a house that they would furnish. So they would be furnished. And I don't know, this world, Satan has really taken over a big foothold in this thing, in this country. And so she finally stopped crying, and I told her, I said, "Listen, you've done exactly as Christ would want you to. It is his problem. You know, he's the one that should be ashamed. He's the one that should be. And I said, you know what? You've done exactly, just think, you've just been persecuted for the Lord. So she kind of straightened up and she knew she was a Christian. But it's discouraging. It's just like me with them coming around and telling us to stay in our area. You get this feeling of, you know, you can't, I mean, I'm here to do good, you know? And they don't see it that way. The problem is with atheists, as you see, they want to do it their way. They don't want God to tell them what's right and wrong. Of course, from one to the next, right and wrong varies, you know. Famous Russian author once said, without God, all things are permissible. So they make up their own rules. That's why when you ask an atheist, what does he believe? I don't believe in God. No. Mm-mm. I didn't say what you don't believe. I said, what do you believe? Well, whatever he believes, you can walk over here and ask this atheist, and he doesn't believe that. They make up their own. Whereas we as Christians, we live under the rules of our Lord. You know, they can't have that. That's the reason Stalin got rid of the churches. The atrocious thing. By the way, Stalin was the biggest murderer in history. And that was all right there in the 20th century. So when Christians are slammed with, well, more Christians have killed more people, that they don't even hold a candle. It's a big lie. The good thing about atheism in our country, it's going to die. It always does. And the reason is, it's a lie. Only the truth endures. So what we need to do is try to hurry along its death, you know. And the way we do that, I believe, is I was telling Carolyn, is you have these cafeteria Christians. They go through the Bible, and they say, oh, I like that. No, I don't like that. I forget that, you know. And they pick and choose what they like out of God's Word. And we need to call them on it, you know. I mean, in a loving way, but we need to call them on it. So basically, that's what our lesson is today, is we're putting our faith on display. And we can't just step back. And we got to expect resistance. I love this. There's some famous verses in here. 2:4-16, therefore we do not lose heart though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light is a momentary, is our light momentarily troubles and achieving for us eternal glory, outweighs them all. Now here's, everyone has heard, and I've, how many sermons have you heard on? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. So that's our goal. We keep our eyes on unseen. We keep our eyes on the eternal. Chapter 5 wasn't in our lesson, but we're getting, what time?
This time.
Well, all I'm going to say is chapter 5 also has like verse 7. We live by faith and not by sight. That's what we're supposed to. And I also 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether are good or bad. So this has nothing to do with salvation. We are saved, you know. This has to do with what we're doing. Now, as a matter of fact, Paul makes it very clear, you don't get to heaven by doing. You get to heaven through Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, I like to use this with the people who come to my door. You'll never live good enough to get to heaven on your own. There's no proof, you can't do it. And if you'd have seen me yesterday driving, you would understand that this is true. It is through Christ that we are saved. But he does expect us to do something, you know. Let's pray. Lord, it grieves our heart that atheism is increasing so much here and has almost taken over Europe. Lord, we ask you to use us to bring about its death. We know, Lord, it's a lie from the word go, and it fools so many people. But Lord, we ask you to use us. Put someone in our path that we can speak to. And Lord, we're looking for open hearts to look into your word and see exactly what you have done for us. Lord, we do thank you so much for your sacrifice for each one of us. And Lord, we ask you to go with us this week and do the things you'd have us do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.